Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're adjusting cameras. We're trying to get comfortable. Anthony, I got something I got to get off my chest real quick before we dive into letting folks hear from Dan Quinn, who spoke earlier today and gave some pretty encouraging injury updates. And Anthony, it does look like you're going to have to lay. There's 19 bites from that presser.
Yeah, I mean, the injury one is cut number two.
Okay, I was going to say, because right now I have one opening statement, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's no labels.
Yeah, I had to carefully listen to Dan Quinn's because he cursed again, so.
Oh.
Took longer than
Do we need to file a formal complaint with PR and be like, hey, can you tell Dan to stop cussing so much?
Yeah.
I think it's time. It was funny, Monday, he cussed in an answer in a response to a question from Scott Abraham. And he apologized to Scott because he's like, oh, you're on TV. You probably can't use that. My bad.
Yeah, that hurts.
Dan, the whole point of the press conference is so that it can be used on TV and radio and in print. And when you say words that we're not allowed to use, it's less useful. So I'm not saying you can't cuss in your personal life. I sure as do. But it would be helpful. There's less bleeping. On the pressers. I will also say this, though, Anthony. Part when I say I'm trying to get comfortable, I must have slept wrong last night. I think I spent way too much time on my left side. Typically, I'll roll over in the middle of the night, spend some time on left, some time on my right, some on your back. Dude, my whole, like, trap shoulder situation, I am messed up right now. Like, I can't really turn. Like, Linnell came to talk to me. Linnell, by the way, is going to come back. He's got a meeting, and then he's going to come back in this studio. And unlike the three-hour yell fest that is him and Russell screaming at each other, we're going to do football therapy. So we're going to let him get his thoughts out in a controlled manner, which will be good. But Linnell came to talk to me in the prep studio, and I was like, I'm sorry I'm not looking at you like a weirdo. I'm not trying to, like, not make eye contact. Your face looks fine. There's nothing weird. I can't really turn. So I literally was like, turned my chair so that I could stare at Linnell. Cause like he was to a point that I couldn't like turn my head and look at him like a normal person.
Yeah. I think I noticed that earlier when we were standing right outside the studio. I didn't know what it was, but now that you say that, I understand.
Yeah. I have taken something. But what I've also taken is a hit to my pride.
Ah,
because this is some serious old man stuff. Hey, how'd you get hurt? Sleeping? What's your danger point? Existing? It's not good, Anthony.
No bueno.
So I know people out there listening are like, oh, this happens to me too. You know, does that make me feel better? No, it makes us sad. Makes me sad for all of us. I'm an active person. I ran a very good high quality speed session this morning. As the day has gone on, are my legs sore? No. You know what hurts? My shoulder trap neck area from sleeping. I also just had a snack. It hurts to chew. It hurts to swallow.
You're going through it, bro.
Yeah. There's a PT clinic down below us. I kind of just want to go down and be like, hey, can y'all dry needle my trap real quick? Can I just get a little pop, 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 pop? Get that sucker to loosen up. I'm tough. I'll take a needle. Needle to the neck. Done it many times before. Hurts like hell for about 5 seconds, but then you feel better. I want it so bad right now. If I could do this show with an electric stim on my neck, I have that at home. Oh, my God. I got to make sure that's charged. I got to text my wife. Rachel, if you're listening, can you make sure the power dot's charged? And let's get this sucker to loosen up because your boy's hurting. So if at any point during the show today, I make any sudden movements if you're watching or if I just flat out yelp. For those listening, it's because my neck is an old man neck. And that's my life now, being an old man. Good news is, on the injury front for the Commanders, they're feeling a lot better. Dan Quinn, earlier today, asked about the injuries for his unit, including Marshawn Lattimore and Tyler Biadasz.
We have a couple guys that are on some vet rest days, but after that, everybody's involved to some level today, so that's a good thing, all hands on deck. So we had some vet rest days of Zach, Cleland, Dante, and Terry.
Last one was Terry, as in McLaurin. Might have heard of him. I'll be honest, I don't love the Terry rest day just because I feel like I would like Terry and Jaden to get as many reps as possible because their timing's been a little bit off, but you know, having Terry at full strength, if that's the reason it's been off, maybe the rest is what they need as opposed to the reps. This is the constant struggle of rest versus reps. It's something that we talk about a lot more in the preseason versus, you know, where it's really health versus reps. How many reps is the right number without risking too much? Because if you do one too many and a guy gets hurt, then he's out for the season or he's out for a couple weeks, and that's going to mess up the whole season. And obviously, the number one ability is availability. So, But I think the last couple of weeks where Jaden and Terry have not really been quite as sharp, can you get as many reps stacked in practice? Can you make sure that those guys are on the same page, that the feel is there for exactly how they're going to run routes and all that kind of stuff? But maybe, you know, just Terry getting that ankle a little bit healthier because he has been battling an ankle injury down the stretch here, maybe that's the thing that gets them back on the same page because Terry is just sharper and crisper. They know that better than I do. I would love it so that Terry was perfectly 100% healthy and then could take the reps. Then that's an ideal situation, the most ideal situation. But that is the current state of play. With that said, guys that are not those healthy rest guys, Tyler Biadasz, Marshawn Lattimore, Cornelius Lucas, that's enormous. Brandon Coleman, by the way, who was banged up in the game. Trent Scott ultimately finished, you know, Coleman went out, went back in, and then went back out. So, Coleman, Lucas, Wiley, who's been banged up, like all those guys being available is great. One, it gives you depth in case someone gets hurt. Two, it gives you options. You know, you can really look at, hey, our run game has been a little bit better maybe with Cornelius Lucas in, which is weird because Lucas is actually probably, like his best attribute is probably his pass blocking. And Wiley is really fantastic as a run blocker in a lot of different situations, but they've had a couple of nice performances with Lucas in there. In the running department. So you can make that decision. Obviously, if you wanted to go back to any kind of rotation with Coleman at left tackle, you're probably well beyond that at this point. But if he's a little banged up and you wanted to preserve his ability, you could do that. So just having all your options on the table is great. And then I think the big one is obviously Marshawn Lattimore. And getting him back defensively, it's hard to overstate what that does for this team. And, you know, go back to all the conversations that we had before the season about Lattimore and or not before the season when he got traded, when he was, you know, this number one guy that we thought was going to play, you know, 7-8 games for this team, and turns out he's only played two. But we saw in those two games, like, one, he's very good at his job. I know he had the couple of PIs and calls against AJ Brown, which some of which I thought were good calls and some which were very much not. But he showed that ability to limit Brown because there's a bunch of play. Like, they just went at him, and he made play after play. And then there was a sequence where he didn't make a couple plays, but they went back to it, and he was able to make even more plays. Then, also on the other side of the field, you're able to roll coverage and help out Mike Sanders still a little bit more, help out Noah Igbinoghene a little bit more, who definitely needs some help there in the slot. And that ability to do those things from a coverage standpoint, dedicate bodies, but also to bring some more of your man pressures and things like that varies up your blitz package, and you can get home a little bit more often, which is obviously important to do against Baker Mayfield. Baker is a guy that is pretty elusive, and we saw that in week one. They got a ton of pressure in week one and couldn't really bring him down, but perhaps there's some more opportunities to do that this week. I mean, Tampa's offensive line is kind of weird. Their numbers are very hit or miss. Tristan Wirfs is one of the best of the best at left tackle. They have been, I think, a lot more up and down across the line otherwise.
So it's definitely a matchup to watch. That I know a lot of experts that I've heard starting to preview this game. The Commanders' D-line, everyone's kind of like, yeah, they're not amazing, but this Tampa O-line isn't either. And I think the way that Washington plays might be able to, you know, have some opportunities against Tampa's O-line. So that should be fun to watch on Sunday. So we will continue to preview this. You'll hear more from Dan Quinn next. Then a football therapy session with Linnell at 4:30. David Harrison, Sports Illustrated, going to join us at 5 o'clock. He's in the locker room each day out in Ashburn. It's always really great when we have him. Dave Johnson, 5:15 today after the Wizards lost last night to the Rockets. They are in Philadelphia tonight, so we'll check in with Dave. See what he saw last night and how they're preparing for the Sixers tonight. And then Competition Wednesday. The wheel is currently on my side of the studio. Is it going to stay there? You'll have to stay tuned at 5:30 to find out. And then, Anthony, are we done? Are we gonna pick playoff games? I think we should pick playoff games.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to pick playoff games. We'll figure out that format in the breaks between now and then. Are we going to pick the same games? Are we going to pick all the games? Are we not going to pick all the games? We'll figure it out. And we're smart folks. We do this for a living. It's our job. So we'll figure it out. But more from Dan Quinn next on The Hoffman Show. It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. If you'd like to check us out there, full show streams live daily. We also cut up a bunch of clips for on-demand purposes. So particular parts of the show, you can watch on-demand in chunks. You also enjoy that style. No, you recommend the Hoffman Show podcast, where we put up some of the individual segments. We also give you the option slash opportunity to listen to the entire show on demand as well. That's just in the podcast feed. Search the Hoffman Show wherever it is that you listen to your podcast. Dan Quinn spoke today out in Ashburn. He does that every Wednesday. The Commanders have a game, and because the Commanders are in the playoffs and have a game on Sunday, he had a Wednesday press conference. And perhaps the most interesting question, it's a long answer, but I want to play it for you, came from David Aldridge, who essentially asked, like, the hell are you doing here, man? We know that this Commanders team was not expected to be here, certainly not with 12 wins. But this was a four-win team that came in with an approach of, hey, we're gonna do this thing the right way. And I think when we see rebuilds often say, well, we're going to do this the right way, that means it's going to take a long time. And lo and behold, here they are in the playoffs in year one. So how do you square that? That was the question that David Aldridge asked Dan Quinn to wrap up today's presser.
I didn't come in with the expectations to know how many, David, to answer the first part of that. But Adam and his staff did a good job of really connecting with the coaches. We spent a lot of time together on what's the style and attitude that we would like to play like. And I thought Adam's superpower is he's been able to find the players for the teams that he's been with, and how he scouted for players at New England that was different than Denver, which was different than San Fran. And coming here, you know, what would make a Commander, you know, at corner and safety and linebacker and, you know, running back and quarterback. And so to have, you know, he and his team understand what the coaches were looking for, that's harder than it sounds. And for guys who've been around, I see some nods going on. It just is. And from the outside, you think, well, why is that? But it just is. And so it takes a lot of time together. And so he and I spent a lot of time together. We watched, you know, last night we were back going through our own game, talking through our team matchups and people. And so it's nice to have somebody, David, to talk to on a regular about team, people, players, and seeing how we could feature them, knowing that we're going to try to put the guys in the things, in the positions of things they can do best. And that's not always the easiest thing to do, but that's what we're going to continue to try to do. And I love that the guys who have come in, they're clear on their roles too. And I think that's an important piece when somebody comes in, especially the rookie. They may not even know what that could look like. And I think it's our responsibility as coaches, and Adam and his personnel side, this is where we see you going. It's going to take work, but if you work your ass off, I think this is where you could end up. So many times, and we've all seen it, where somebody's career just doesn't quite take off, and I think sometimes they don't know what the vision is for them. And I think having a vision for what a player can be, young player, older player, the Jeremy Chins, to say, this is how we're going to play you here. And he's really made an impact. A guy like Jeremy, and down by the line of scrimmage, we can blitz him, he can hit, he can guard tight ends. But we were going to make sure that's the role that we want to put you in. And if you can nail that, you know, I think it'll come through good.
So that was Dan Quinn today on kind of that idea of how he's built it. It was very focused on, like, we're just going to do this thing that's best for right now. And we're going to do the best we can. And I think that's what I appreciate about this team and the way that the staff has approached things is it's not that this is a finished product and like, hey, we're trying to build a Super Bowl contender in year one and we're going to take shortcuts. But what's the best thing that we can do right now to eventually get there? And for some of these guys, like a Jeremy Chin, it was, this is a talented guy. He fits the mold of character that we want. So we're not making a sacrifice on a talented guy for the sake of, like, it's talent, but at what cost, right? It's like, it's talent, cheap deal, one-year deal. If it works out, we probably bring this guy back. He'll probably want to come back. This is all good. As opposed to some teams that are like, we'll take a bunch of flyers, and then they have a discombobulated locker room. Like, no, some of their flyers even are some of their leaders in the locker room. Guys like Bobby Wagner, who was on a one-year deal, and it's like, okay, well, yeah, come in and let's see what you got. And, you know, we want you to beat you. Be Bobby Wagner. Okay, great. Fantastic. And so they were really smart about the one-year guys that they took in without committing anything to the or too many long-term deals. The guys that they did do that, they knew were centerpieces. Guys like Biotis and Luvu were going to be huge parts of what they wanted to do moving forward. But generally speaking, they just said, we're going to do the right thing by the organization and something that is both short and long-term. Now, what that meant week one versus what that means now, I think is also a little bit different because in the here and now, you have a very different team, some ways in roster, but also in just approach and kind of maturity than you had in week one against Tampa. Well, today happens to be 4 months to the day since they played the Bucs in week one, and Dan Quinn was asked to reflect on the 4 months that have passed since.
Well, I think there's things you take. It's a full circle moment. You don't usually get to play somebody at the start of a season, the start of a second season. They absolutely got the best of us on that day. And so it's a good measuring stick to see, you know, how much we've improved. And so they're an excellent team. And clearly on that day showed it.
I think it'll be fun tomorrow or Friday. We're going to run back through my first and 10 observations from week one, and let's see how many are still relevant to the Commanders now. But I can tell you from a personnel standpoint, some of them are completely irrelevant. One, I think first and foremost, at quarterback, Jaden Daniels is a different player now than he was week one. He's just far more advanced as a passer. That was his real first week of NFL football. It was also week one against a Todd Bowles defense that you didn't know. Now you got a whole season's worth of looks to study and look at and see how they handled all different kinds of players and different kind of route concepts and scrambling quarterbacks versus pocket quarterbacks. Like, you have all of the data now that you could possibly want going into this. So I think that is really exciting and is going to cause for a potentially different performance. I would hope a different performance for Jaden Daniels, who was very effective with his legs in week one, but certainly had a ton of, he shouldn't have run as much as he did. He was having trouble reading the field. And I don't think that we've seen that version of Jaden Daniels in quite a long time. But also in that game, all of the above, or all of the below, all of the names I'm about to say, because this is radio and not print, and there's no list anywhere. All of the following played at least double-digit snaps. Some of them played 20-plus snaps. I believe Emmanuel Forbes played 34 snaps, if I'm remembering the number. But Forbes, Jamin Davis, Fedarian Mathis, all played double-digit snaps in that game. So we're talking about a very, very different group than, like, purely personnel than what we saw in week one. Sheldon Day was playing them, but he's a different player now. The role they have him in now is very different. So from top end guys like Sane Ristill, who was a nickel and rotational player in that game, compared to, okay, now he's the number two corner behind Lattimore, who obviously wasn't here, to rotational guys who are in a very different rotation, I think it's going to be very interesting to see how this all comes together. I mean, Johnny Newton wasn't back from the foot injury yet. Like, there's just so many different elements to this team, and we're going to run through that in more detail over the next couple of days. We're going to talk to Linnell next, a little football therapy session. Coming up in this spot, 4:30 on Friday, Trevor Sikkema from NFL Network and Pro Football Focus is going to join us. Trevor, not only a great analyst, but someone who has been a Bucs fan for a long time, so he has a particularly keen eye on that team. You might know him on Twitter as Tampa Bay Trey. So we're going to talk to Trevor coming up on Friday at 4:30, so make sure you do not miss that, or if you have to for whatever reason, check it out on demand afterwards in the podcast feed or on YouTube. When we get back, time to bust out the therapy couch. Football therapy time with Linnell here on The Hoffman Show. It's The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980, where you see that we got our guy Linnell Willingham with us. He's calmed down from his 3 hours with the Rooster.
It was actually a calm 3 hours today.
What?
When I say calm, relative to what it normally is. Okay. That's one of my resolutions for 2025, is become a little bit more sane on the air.
Okay. Just as an actor, are you trying to like have that be actor? No. You're trying to be more sane in real life, and that comes
in real life. In real life. Because, okay, you know, the same guy that's off the air is the same guy on the air, which has led to some problems in my life. So, anyways.
That's a good resolution. So I was on with you and Denton Day on Sunday on the Burgundy and Gold pregame show. And as I'm signing off, I'm sitting there at my home studio on the Comrex on the stream doing the whole multimedia bit. And I click off the stream, but I still got the Comrex on, and I hear you say, "I need to make an appointment with Craig." And Denton was very confused. And shame on Denton Day for not listening to this show every minute of every day that we're on the air, and thus knowing that football therapy is a thing that we do on the show.
Yes.
But you were like, "No, he's a certified football therapist, and I need to make an appointment."
Yes.
And so, Linnell, we got you on the schedule. We created an opening in the office.
That's amazing.
What do you want to talk about today, young man?
There's a lot I want to talk about. First of all, thanks for inviting me back, because we love doing this. I think where I was the last time I was on the Hoffman football therapy couch and where I am currently, two completely different guys.
Okay. He's making a resolution.
Partially because part of the, what's the word I'm looking for? Part of the remedy, part of my therapy outside of the couch is listening to the Take Command podcast, giving myself real smart analysis to calm me down at times and corroborate some of my thoughts. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, the philosopher Paulson's a good one to consume become a better thinker about the game. I
for sure
fully endorse that.
And I even enjoyed the substitute Paulson last week.
Oh yeah, we did play Paulson on post game with Grant.
When you said
in
that on the pregame, got a little chuckle out your boy. Swap that Paulson. Sounds like a
funny guy.
A TikTok dance.
Funny guy.
But I think, first of all, let's just give an early lean. This is a teaser for anybody that hadn't heard what I've thought yet, because we didn't discuss it with Chris. My early hunch here on a Wednesday is that Washington is going to find a way to win its first postseason game since 2005. That's my early lean.
Okay.
What I'm here on the therapy couch for is to, I guess, make me feel less insane. And it's something that you and Logan mentioned on the pod, and I have been beating this drum all year long, but my thought process on it is changed after listening to the latest episode of Take Command. Get that wherever you download your podcast.
Thank you.
The run defense has drove me up a wall all year. I think I've had so many conversations with you. I've texted back and forth with Logan. Me and Anthony have screamed about it when you haven't been in. Like, it's just been a full circle thing where if it's about who's right or who's wrong. I've long thought that it's their biggest issue and it will get them bounced from the postseason. But after listening to you all, I'm almost, and tell me if I'm picked up you all's drift correctly. When you talk to high school coaches, college coaches, NFL coaches, they'll tell you their number one principle defensively is to stop the run. I don't think that is Washington's philosophy, at least the 2024 Commanders. That's not their philosophy. Right. Their number one philosophy is not giving up the explosive. And they're willing to sacrifice and concede other things in lieu of keeping that like the main thing.
Yes.
And I think it's made me go, well, what should really be my bigger focus and emphasis when I talk about this defense? We know they're not good at stopping the run. It's been the case all year long through 18 weeks of football. It's not just going to randomly change in the wild card round of the playoffs. But I think what we saw last weekend against Dallas is more the blueprint here. Bend but don't break. Make teams kick field goals. However you get to that outcome, a field goal attempt is what they want at the end of a drive. They're okay with that all day long because they know their guy is going to go score touchdowns.
I think that's true. And I think that in order, if you're a fan, it's going to involve understanding you're going to have to embrace some discomfort, which is not very fun.
That's why the therapy's here.
Yeah, that's why the therapy's here. We're gonna try to come up with some mechanisms. and sometimes the mechanism is simply awareness. Sometimes the thing that you need to feel better about something is just a deeper understanding of the feeling. And it's someone being like, don't worry about it, and invalidating your feelings, because watching the Commanders give up 6 yards here and 7 yards there and 8 yards there doesn't feel very good. But watching them get goal line stops feels good.
Yes.
And trusting that, hey, it's going to be okay. They move down the field. They're at the 30-yard line. Okay, let's see if they can do it. Knowing that they're going to have to make plays in condensed spaces, knowing that some of the turnovers that the Commanders have had this year, which is not as many as they want, and hopefully is not as many as they'll generate in the future when they get some more talent on that side of the ball, that it often comes in the red zone because the space becomes so much more condensed.
For sure.
And it's a lot easier to stop the run, for instance, down in the red zone because you're not worried about getting beat over the top. So those safeties that are playing at 20 yards in the field are now in the red zone playing at 10 yards, and thus the 8-yard run's a lot harder to come by, which when you're at the 8-yard line is really what you're going for. So I think that, embracing the fact that they are making, and what we talked about in the pod to flesh it out a little bit more for folks, and Linnell, thank you so much for listening, is that you can tell based off who Washington puts on the field. They play a ton of nickel, and specifically, even when Dallas had two running backs or two tight ends out on the field, they still were in their nickel personnel quite a bit. So they favored speed and the ability to cover space in the pass over run defense, and they're playing with light boxes. They're playing with six in the box a lot and trusting that their guys can come in from wider spaces and make tackles, but that is better than being exposed to giving up 30, 40, 50-yard chunks.
Yes.
And that strategy is fine as long as you don't give up what you gave up to Saquon Barkley and give up 68 yards and a touchdown in one chunk.
So here's the other thing, too, that I thought you and Logan did a nice job hitting on. From a numbers standpoint, maybe I didn't think of it this way. When they're playing these light boxes, I guess to skip to it, like, they could live in the light box. I think they wanted, and this was probably their principle from when they first took this job. They're saying, this is how we're going to play the run. When you have the highest paid interior rush duo in the NFL, in Deron and John, you simply expect them to make you right and beat blocks and beat double teams on a more consistent basis, and they have not done it, and it's compromised this defense a ton this year. Because I think when they're installing your stuff and you look at, the cupboard's bare. Let's make no mistake about it, right? Like, I don't think they have a lot of talent on that side of the ball. The two dudes that you circle when you take this job, Craig, you know, is Deron and John, and you expect them to be game wreckers sporadically, I guess. I don't think you're expecting it down in and down out, but I think you expect them to have more impact plays, to live on the other side of the line of scrimmage more than they do.
I would actually love to ask Dan Quinn and Joe with that, in some kind of way that they would be honest. They're very, and especially Dan, but I think Joe follows in Dan's footsteps on this. They're very, very reluctant to criticize players individually. Yes. It's just not how they roll. They're very, very positive. I do think they do it behind closed doors. I think everyone in the building knows exactly where they stand. But like, those guys are not dummies. They've watched the Commanders on tape, and John and Deron did not get paid because of how they play the run. Maybe a couple of years ago, John was considered pretty high up there and Deron's had his moments, but I think they know that those two got paid because they put up Deron put up a double digit sack season, and John was consistently right below it. And that kind of pass rush from a three technique or from a defensive tackle, in Deron's case, Like, that's really valuable. Those guys can make plays behind the line of scrimmage, like you said, but they're not true run stuffers. And I wonder if they thought they could come in and turn them into guys who made more plays behind the line of scrimmage consistently, or did they just know this is part of what we're going to have to eat this year, and we know that contractually these guys in 1 to 2 years will probably be somewhere else, and we're just going to install our defense and roll with what we roll with and hope that some of the younger pieces can learn because we think that they're good enough. But then again, like, Johnny Newton's the same kind of player in a lot of ways.
Which is
so they drafted Johnny Newton.
Yeah,
they drafted Johnny Newton. So my thought is, and by the way, the guys they had in Dallas were pretty light.
That's
so,
why Mozzie was supposed to be their saving grace. He was the heavier, hulking guy, and he's been a bust.
Yeah, he has not been very good for them. Yeah. So I do wonder, like, what the plan is there.
Yes,
and
so do I. And do they change it this offseason and try to go with bigger, more hulking bodies in the middle to potentially...
Because that is kind of the Peters Quinn way, is these guys have... traditionally gone. Well, yeah, but they've also traditionally gone with, like, bigger bodies. I mean, we joked about it during training camp that, like, you could point around the field and be like, that's a Peters guy, that's a Rivera guy, yeah, based off who was big and not, outside of, like, Mike Sainer still, who has the heart of a lion.
Yes.
So I think it's an interesting point. I don't have, as your football therapist, I don't have anything to make you feel better other than validating that your feelings here and saying, like, yes, I do think that when you have that much money invested in that spot, you are hoping that is played better, more consistently. You'd also hope guys like Furl on the edge maybe set a little bit better edge a little more often, because that's kind of his jam more than his being a pass rusher.
Real quick, the other thing, and I know we're running out of time here, that I was saying,
if you got time, we can roll over one more segment too.
We may be able to roll it over, but real quick. I talked about it today, and I think you guys maybe mentioned it too. They got to earn the right to rush the passer and put Frankie Louvel on the edge as well. Like, they can't just – I don't think he could just live like that in early downs, because setting the edge isn't his strong suit. Fowler setting the edge isn't his strong suit. Like, I think he'd be better
on – first and second down efficiency is always a thing. But I think I like about – and this got into some really nerdy stuff that Logan was super psyched about on the podcast. Like, they'll play six in the box, but sometimes it's a 4-2 alignment and sometimes it's a 5-1 alignment. So five defensive linemen versus four, one linebacker versus two. And, like, when you call a play as a play caller offensively, you probably are calling a run based off of, I think it's going to work better against this front. Like, some runs are better designed to work against. Like, if you call a trap and you're trying to trap a three technique and all of a sudden, you know, you got a nose guard you have to deal with, like, that's a bit of a different challenge versus, oh, it's a three and a one technique, which is just fancy terminology for where the dudes line up up front. The details don't matter for that particular point. The point is that by having that flexibility with Louvu of him sometimes kind of playing as an edge player in an odd front with five defensive linemen versus off the ball with four, like, it does create some challenges. It's tough. And then, like, Chin will come down in the box, and sometimes it kind of looks like a 3-4 front, and you're just lighter in the back end. So they mix it up quite a bit, which I think is good. The problem is trying to guess what the best thing down in, down out has not always been super consistent, because they've been awesome.
They've been gashed at every look.
They've also gotten tackles for loss in every look.
So exactly.
That is...
i.e., they just need better personnel, probably. I think that's...
Partially, but also, to go back to your original point, that's run defense in the NFL.
Right. You need bodies. I think you need the bigger bodies in the middle.
If you get some bigger bodies and you can have the line move less, like, that's good.
Yes.
But as long as you don't give up the big one, you live with that stuff, because the other thing is eventually most teams will commit a penalty or have a negative run or something.
Unless you're Washington in the third quarter against Atlanta.
In which case, you just march your butt down the field, or you're Marcus Mariota in Washington.
Right.
And you just march your butt down the field. The thing is, against Atlanta, there was that one really long drive they had to start the third quarter. They had like two penalties on the drive, and they just didn't matter. They just ran right through them. So not ideal, but most teams will do that and go from there. Do you have anything else on your chest that you would like to get off in the next segment?
You all are doing a tremendous job. And listen to Take Command if you want to get smarter about football. Even someone like me that professes he knows everything.
Clearly, you do profess that. I think maybe
humility.
I listen
to Take Command.
I think humility
is part of the goal. Yes. But I love listening to you guys. On my ride in on Wednesdays and Thursdays, you always are getting a spin.
Well, we'll have a fresh one for you tomorrow. On your way in. Thanks for stopping by, buddy.
Yes, indeed, my
appreciate
man.
You. Well, shoot, Anthony, what are we doing next then? This is the first time Linnell's ever done just one segment.
You're expecting to get a double dunk.
Yeah, okay. what are we doing now?
I have my gym attire on. For the people that are on stream, I'm wearing leggings. That means gym attire.
They can't see your leggings. They'll trust. Linnell's trust wearing his leggings. So yeah, because I go down there. Are you going to wear those shoes to the gym too?
I'm actually going to go barefoot.
Okay.
I lift without shoes on.
Okay. I'm not anti that. Just, you know.
Yeah.
Sanitary.
I'm a wiper.
Good.
I treat the gym better than I treat the computers.
Thank God.
I knew you were looking for one on the way out. There we go. Thank you, my friend.
All right. Well, now we've run over time. Well, Anthony and I will figure out what we're going to do in the break next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. And 8 minutes from now, David Harrison from Sports Illustrated, their Commanders writer, joins us. David does a great job covering the team. He's out there every single day. And Wednesdays, we try to get someone who is in the locker room. And today, David's number's getting called, and we're excited to have him. So David Harrison's going to join us coming up at 5 o'clock. Dave Johnson, it's an hour of Dave's. Dave Johnson at 5:15 ahead of Wizards and Sixers tonight. And then Competition Wednesdays coming up at 5:30. The Commanders should have Marshawn Lattimore back, which is great. And Marshawn Lattimore is probably really looking forward to being back because he likes playing football. And also he gets to see an old friend. Marshawn Lattimore Mike Evans rivalry has been one of the fiercest personal rivalries in the NFL for quite a number of years. They obviously played twice a year when Marshawn was in New Orleans, and Evans has been in Tampa his entire career. There have been many of fights. There have been tremendous battles that are purely football and on the field. And Mike Evans is one of the best receivers in football, who's still, I don't know if he's at the absolute peak of his powers, but he's certainly not far away from them if he's had any decline, as he is in year 11, all 11 years, 1,000 yards receiving. So Dan Quinn was asked today first about Evans and then about Evans and Lattimore. First on Evans.
I think just a remarkable competitor. I think, if I'm not mistaken, when I even coached in college, my first game coaching at Florida might have been against him and in the SEC, yes. And I've just followed his career. It's not just the length. There's lots of guys that are taller or longer, but it's the competitive will, the routes, the discipline, the competitiveness, all of those things, you know, when you're looking at sustained success, you better have the whole thing. And he certainly does.
I mean, talk about also a guy who knows Mike Evans, not just Marshawn Lattimore, but Dan Quinn. I mean, Dan would have been in Atlanta when Mike started his career. So played him in college, played him twice a year in the pros for all of his years in Atlanta, and now gets him twice a year this year, first in week one and then again in the playoffs. Of course, didn't have Lattimore week one and has him now. So do we expect any, let's say, any interruptions if those two are matched up, which inevitably they will be on Sunday, presuming that Lattimore's hamstring is good to go?
I don't think it impact the flow of the game, but there's definitely matchups all over the field that make a difference in winning and losing. And these are two elite competitors, and it's honestly what makes like coaching so much fun, you know. And those aren't the only two that are going to be absolutely battling for it. It may be the only ones that the networks may show, but let me tell you, there'll be a lot of guys that are really going to go for it. And that's what it does make that part fun.
I'm sure there will be other guys. There's no other rivalry on the field that has two dudes that have punched each other in the helmet before, which is always, Anthony, my absolute favorite. And what a special thing that football players do. Steel or whatever, it's not steel, but whatever the hell the metal, the helmet is. Let me punch that with my bare hand, the thing I use to make a living. That's never very smart.
Yeah, it's not smart. And I think some players have shifted to open hand, you know, smacks.
Which makes more sense.
Yeah.
More sense.
But still.
Yeah, I think that there's just, it's probably not a lot of great stuff. If you're a defensive guy, you can try to line a guy up and be like, if you get the ball, I'm going to take a shot. If you're an offensive guy, you can take a shot as a blocker. But the thing is, nobody's thinking about that during post-play fisticuffs. They're angry. They're lashing out. Their testosterone overfloweth. And it happens because it's sports and it's physical and it's violent. Like, that is football. And so it It's not to be like, yay, fighting. It's just to be like, yep, what'd you expect? They're competitive as hell. I hope this matchup happens. One, because the Commanders have a way better shot of winning if Marshawn Lattimore is playing. And two, just you're seeing some of the best guys in the league go at it. And like, that's what makes it, you know, talk about elite competitors. Like, that's what makes it fun. They're not just elite competitors. They're elite players. So you have elite players who are elite competitors competing and playing against each other. What's better than that with playoffs and, you know, the full shebang on the line?
Yeah, I'm excited for it. Like, I knew about the rivalry, you know, before Marshawn got here, but I never watched a full game of just them two going head-to-head, and I'm excited, man. I'm excited. And do you think they'll, like, dap each other up, like, after these kinds of games, or...
I don't know. Because, like, there are definitely some guys who have that rivalry of, like, I'm going to murder you during the game. And then I see you, I respect you afterwards. And I think there's a lot more guy, or not maybe not a lot more, then there's another group of guys that, like, I truly don't like that guy. And sometimes that becomes a lifelong thing. Like, sometimes these dudes, like, they don't like the way each other goes about their business. There's lack of respect, and, like, they really don't like each other. And I kind of think that might be the case for these two dudes. Yeah. Then there's another group of guys that's how they are during their career. And then at some point post-career, they become like best friends and start doing like book signings together.
Yeah.
I don't know that Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore are going to do book signings.
I doubt it.
We'll have to ask. Like, is it purely on the field? Do you not like, I mean, Evans seems like, I don't know Lattimore very much. Like, Evans, like how revered he is in Tampa for what he is in the community and all that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know how anybody, based off what I know about Mike Evans, wouldn't like Mike Evans, the dude. But Mike Evans, the football player, he's gotten scrappy with plenty of dudes. I could see how you don't like Mike Evans, the football player, if you're playing against him. So,
yeah,
TBD, as they say. But it should be a lot of fun on Sunday. Lattimore practice today. We'll get more. Was he a full participant? How restricted is he? What do we think about his chances to play in Sunday? And a full complement of snaps on Sunday. David Harrison has the latest from the locker room. He joins us next on the Hoffman Show.